Okay, I am Hillary Hansen, and I work at the local health department in Billings, Montana, and I'm the director of our population health services, which is our health promotion programs, and then I am also our deputy health officer. So I have no relationships to disclose. What I'm going to talk about is a lot of what Dawn talked about, but take it kind of to the next steps and talk about how we have utilized the Healthy People 2020 pieces to actually put initiatives in place. And what I'm going to specifically talk about is a coalition that we have in our community called Healthy by Design. So just to give you a little background, this is a map of Montana, and we have 56 counties in Montana. I'm located in Yellowstone County, so we are in south central Montana. We have about 140,000 people in our county, and just to give you perspective, that is the largest county in Montana. So we are the largest health department in the state of Montana. And so we have health departments that range from a half-time nurse and then up to our health department, to which we have about 64 people working in our public health services. Within our community, we're a medical hub for Montana and actually for parts of Wyoming too. And we have two hospitals in our community, Billings Clinic and St. Vincent Healthcare. Our local health department is called Riverstone Health. So we're actually, if anyone wants to have this side conversation, we're Yellowstone City County Health Department doing business as Riverstone Health. So we are a branded health department that goes under another name. And so in our community, our two hospitals have about 50-50 share. So they're highly, highly competitive. And we were lucky enough about 10 years ago for the CEOs to realize that we needed to work on some health issues at a community level. And so they put together what they call the Alliance, and that is basically the three CEOs, and they have one other person from each organization that represents them, and they make some decisions on things that we're going to do across all organizations as kind of the medical, healthcare, public health parts of our community. So one of the very first things that the Alliance did was to do a community health assessment. And so these show our results from 2006. And as you can see, we have some issues in 2006. I would like to say that we're the healthiest county in Montana, and we are not. In fact, we're not very high up there at all. So we had some really big issues that we needed to deal with, and what they started to realize was that a lot of these focus around our weight issues. And I'll show you some more slides on that. We just did our 2011, released the results last year, community health assessment. And the piece that I want you to see here, if you don't remember numbers from the last slide, our 2006 community health assessment showed that our overweight and obesity was 62.7%. So in 5 years, we jumped 10%. And so we're getting fat fast is what's happening in Yellowstone County. And so we had already started some work on Healthy by Design, and what this has done is really kicked us into the next gear of we need to do some major kind of population issues along with some pieces in our health care area too. Again, why we focused on weight, and this is the main slide, if you can see it at all, basically what this shows is that, as we all know, but it proves true, we wanted to prove this to Yellowstone County residents, that many of our chronic disease issues are associated with weight. So what you can see here is in the overweight and obese, we have higher rates of hypertension, cholesterol, depression, diabetes, considered suicide, all these other components are associated with weight. And so we knew that's where we really had to put our focus. So we started talking about this idea of a community that's healthy by design. And that's, again, what we named our coalition, Healthy by Design. And the key thing that we started to come to is that we want a community where you're free to make choice. So we are overall a very conservative state in Montana, and so when we talk about policies and other issues, a lot of concern is taking away choice. And so for Healthy by Design, we focused on the theory of we want you to have a choice, which means you have to have the healthy choice as an option too. And so whatever you choose is up to you, but you need to have both options available. So what we started to put together as a community, working with the Alliance and other community members, is our goal for healthy weight, with that focus again on the weight issue. And we wanted to increase the percentage of people in Yellowstone County at a healthy weight. And so you can see here that we looked at the Healthy People 2020 goal of 33.9. I'm not sure I argued that these might not be realistic goals. I was overruled, but we are trying by 2020 to actually reach that Healthy People 2020 goal of 33.9. So this is our major driving force for us right now. And you can see in 2014 what we hope to find is maintaining, which is, as I said, we went up 10% in 5 years, so maintaining would be amazing for us. What we put together through this were three main objectives that we wanted to work on to increase the percentage of people at that healthy weight. And you'll hear me say increase, because we tried to change everything to be positive. So you'll see that wording throughout. But the three primary objectives, and I'll talk about a couple of them today and how we're actually trying to achieve those, and then I can answer questions about any of the others later. One of the main ones is, objective one is to look at people who have received advice about weight from their healthcare provider. So data actually shows that people who are have their weight discussed with their provider are 9 times more likely to change it. Our community health assessment showed that of those who are obese, only 33% had received, had ever been talked to about their weight by a healthcare provider. And if you put overweight into that, it actually drops to 17%. So we saw this huge gap, and one of the positive things we have in our community is that the people who are putting these goals together are our three primary healthcare providers in our community. In fact, between all of them, we make up about 98% of the primary care providers, not only in our county, but in that region. And so we knew we could look at some systematic changes to change that one objective. The other piece was to start jumping into physical activity, and we focused on leisure time physical activity. And the reason for that is that we wanted to make sure we weren't getting into the idea of everybody needs to go to the gym and do their 30 minutes of activity. We know that's not feasible for everyone. We know that there's people who can't pay for gyms. We know there's all these issues that come with it. And we live in Montana. So what we wanted to really talk about was utilizing the resources to get people out, to walk to the grocery store, to walk and bike to school, to do those other pieces and increase their leisure time physical activity. And then increasing the number of people that have their five servings of fruits and vegetables. So when Healthy by Design, we put together various work groups, and remember, this is a community coalition that we're working with. So we have a lot of different members of this. We have the normal traditional healthcare, because we've also jumped into things like built environment. We have our transit system, we have planning, we have public works, we have city council members. On the economic side, we have the Chamber of Commerce, our Economic Development Association. So we have a lot of members that, at least at the time we developed it, seemed really non-traditional, and we weren't sure we could convince them to be a part of it, but they now are. So what I wanted to just display today was our health equity work group. And this is really the group that started to come together and say, clearly throughout our community health assessment, there are some groups where there's equity issues associated with them. And remember, this is coming from Montana, so our kind of our diversity would be less, I guess that you could say, than other areas. But we still saw some major issues kind of arising throughout our community health assessment. So again, we wanted to focus on the goals of increasing fruits and vegetables, and you can actually see these are, if you've never looked at the Healthy People 2020, that actually indicates kind of the area goals. I can't remember, Katie, do you remember? Nutrition something, goal 15. Should have looked that up. Anyway, if you wanted to, that's how they would be looked up. And so when we looked at this specifically, this is our data from our community health assessment. And you can see we fall pretty low on the number of people consuming fruits and vegetables. And some of the things that we picked out of this are that there is low income specifically has a lower area of eating fruits and vegetables. And we have parts of our community, as probably everyone does, that are actually federally marked as food deserts. And so that was the first place we really started to look, because those food deserts also happen to link to the places that we had lower income in our community. So one of the initiatives that we have put together is a gardener's market, and this is held within our parking lot at the health department, and our health department happens to be in the area of the food desert, which works out well for us. And we have, in Billings, we have one farmer's market that occurs during the growing season. And so we recognize that, A, there was a lot of people who couldn't even make it to this market because it was downtown and it was on the weekend. We do not have full public transit on the weekends. And the other piece was that a lot of it was pretty expensive produce and food. So it's really one of those farmers markets that we all love to go to, and they're cute and fun and there's crafts and great food, but everything's overpriced. You're not going there to buy necessarily what you're going to eat for the week. And so we put together this gardener's market, and it's run by health department staff and community volunteers. We do not charge for people to come. We only do produce, and that was primarily so that we didn't have to deal with our own rules through environmental health. And so maybe eventually we'll step there, but for the first, we've done this for 2 years. We didn't want to step kind of over that bound and have to worry about that piece. And we invite local gardeners, and a lot of them are just you and me who have this garden at home, and it's too big, and there's only two of us at our house, and we have all this extra produce. And so some people are coming and selling and making money. Some people are coming and just donating produce, and then we give it away. And we've had really amazing success with bringing this together. We just actually received, I'll show you actually the results of where we're at, and it's not huge yet, but we're in year two, and we've had no funding to do this. So this is a great example of really where that volunteer time can come into play and what we've been able to accomplish in that amount of time. And you can see this bottom picture I like to point out is actually Vistas, who work for Salvation Army. And so the Vistas have come in and started a community garden, and Salvation Army has agreed to bring all their produce from their community garden to our gardener's market. And so we've had some really great success with this. And we just found out, actually right before, the week before I got here, that we have received a grant from the USDA to expand this market and to provide us some funding to actually do advertising. And we're not doing mass media advertising. We're going to do the grassroots advertising, kind of the door-to-door neighborhood canvassing and pieces to try and hit specifically those low-income areas within our food desert. So hopefully next year we'll get that up and going. We've ended our growing season in Montana. So the other piece we really started to look at was, like I said, that no leisure time physical activity. And one of the things, as you can see at the top, that was really noted is that women and seniors are our lowest in leisure time physical activity. And so again, we started to think, how are we going to address this? And we started to look at a gender-based approach to this. And for those of you who aren't familiar with gender-based kind of approaches, I had to learn this, so forgive me if I'm telling people something you already know. But the distinction between kind of the sex issues, which are just the biological, and the gender issues. So for gender issues, we looked at things like women reported that it's hard for them to go to the gym to work out during the day because it's a bigger deal for them to put on makeup, do their hair, get back to work. They feel the responsibility for cooking dinner, and so now they don't have a free evening. So it's looking at some of those gender issues. And when we dove into this, we went, oh no. we're not sure exactly how to deal with this, and there's not a lot of literature out there that exists specifically to do this. So we actually applied for funding through the Office of Women's Health and to do research in this area, which also is brand new to us because, like many local health departments, we're a small health department. We have the two hospitals, but we have very little local research capacity. But it's a big step for us to realize that we can't achieve these Healthy People 2020 goals without starting to dive into how will this work in our community. So we've done gender analysis results of our community health assessment. We broke it all down by gender. We did focus groups. We've done lots of things like that to try and get some ideas. And we're currently in the process right now of putting together community-based participatory research and bringing the community in and saying, what can we do to see if we can improve physical activity? With the focus on women is what our focus is on right now, but ensuring that at least the senior women are part of that group too, because remember, women and seniors were our two groups. And then we're also looking at doing a social marketing campaign utilizing positive deviance. And how many of you guys have heard of positive deviance? No. Okay. I love this idea. And so forgive me for those of you who know about it if I don't explain it well. One of our hospitals has really started to use this. And the idea is to find those people who are deviants, but in a positive way, meaning they're doing things that other people aren't doing in a good way. So in our case, we're looking for the women who are doing physical activity despite the fact that they have three kids at home, a full-time job, maybe don't have a large income, etc. So we're finding those people who figured out how to do it anyway, despite all these barriers, and utilizing them to help us do this social marketing campaign, which we're just in the development stages of right now, to see if they can provide that message that'll really help change those components. So again, for this part of our work, just the physical activity, we're just focusing on those women in Yellowstone County. And this just gives you the layout of kind of our population and who we're trying to target and hope to target. Although with our social media campaign, we're also going to start to target some men. And more, again, from that gender side of how they can even become aware of the gender-based issues surrounding physical activity to support or assist those women in their life to increase physical activity levels. So that's the end of my presentation. The one piece I didn't talk about, but I'd be happy to if anyone has questions, or you can go to our website, healthybydesignyellowstone.org, and that's the coalition website, so it has all these materials. But the other piece we are doing, like I said, is we're working on systematic change within our three healthcare organizations to make weight a vital sign for all primary care provider visits. And we've created healthy weight plans, and so that the physicians can talk to and kind of set either goals or talk to them about some easy changes that people can make in their behavior. And so that's the other piece we're hoping to see a major shift on in our next community health assessment is those number of people who've been talked to about their weight by their primary care provider. Thank you. Yes. Yeah.
I really like how you put positive. I was wondering why you put the second one positive.
Yeah, I think it's officially supposed to be. I think I wrote that wrong. Because we've tried in our plan to change all of them. So it should be increase the percentage of people with leisure time physical activity. Okay. Yeah, so that's just an oversight on my part. I think it's from a past version.
Great. Also, I was just wondering whether to, in that same thing, in that part about the leisure,
yeah.
Also try to be able to increase the activity in the non in the work time, like people taking stairways. And
right. So one of the other components, we have a lot of initiatives here, but one of the work groups we have is worksite wellness. And so we've started to put together, remember, we have no funding besides these grants that we get, so we're starting everything kind of on our own. We've put together, and those are online too, actually, nutrition and physical activity guidelines policies for work sites to do. So one of the things we recognized early on is we didn't have the capacity to go into work sites and create a work site wellness program for them. But that there's a lot of policies and guidelines they can put in place. And so we've set forward and we have work sites who are signing on board to change some of these policies. So for things like physical activity, it's actually like promoting stairwell use with signs, allowing breaks for physical activity, mapping the walking route around your workplace. For nutrition, it's things like removing the candy from the front desk, having a policy of no dumping zone, meaning that people cannot bring in their leftover birthday cake and put it on a table. And so it's implementing those policies, and that's what we've put together for worksite. Yes.
So two questions. One is, what happens to the gardener's market in winter?
Yeah.
Which is really good in Montana.
Yeah.
And the other one is, obesity is sometimes kind of like if you talk to a person who is really overweight, you can't really say, well, you should lose weight, and people are really upset, and so on. So what about the community awareness that it is a problem?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you address it?
Right. To your first one, the gardener's market does not exist in the winter. And so we're trying to find ways to still ensure that food is accessible, and that would be kind of a work in progress. We realize it's a gap. The Salvation Army, like I said, that's doing the community market is actually in the process of building a big greenhouse. And so we hope there'll be ways to distribute food in the future, but that I don't have a solution to that one yet. If anyone has any good ideas, let me know. In terms of the message of it, like I said, we've changed a lot of things to talk about healthy weight. So to focus on being at a healthy weight versus not using the words overweight, obese. That being said, I think one of the main things I've learned is finding your message for the right stakeholders, and I'm sure we do this with everything, but when I talk to physicians and others, they want to see those stats and utilize the terms overweight, obese, and yet for the community, we can't do that. And so even on the healthy weight plans that we have put together for the primary care providers to use, it doesn't utilize the words overweight, over obese. It has BMI and those kind of things, but it's like outside of healthy weight range, I think is what is the terminology we use. And so we've had to kind of find ways to state that differently. That being said, we've still had to ensure there's at least a little media out there and a little news that we jumped 10% in 5 years. And so it's been a balance, walking a balance line for us. We've gotten some pushback for sure on utilizing BMI in primary care providers. There's those people out there who don't think BMI is the appropriate measure for various reasons, and we've had to just kind of say, but it's the best we have right now, and so we're going to utilize it. And so there are pieces that we definitely don't have worked out, and we still have road bumps for, but we've been able to kind of change the message, and we really try and utilize healthy weight as our terminology at all times. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In relation to gender, that women have to do the cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Does it mean that male in this country doesn't feel like sharing the cooking?
I don't think so. And I think it varies by family. But one of the things that kept coming up in the focus groups is that those women felt the ultimate responsibility for ensuring it was done. So even if they weren't the ones who did it, even if they were getting help to do it, they were still feeling that responsibility to ensure the groceries were in the house, it was lined up, what was going to be cooked for dinner, etc. So this is all results that have come more from our focus groups and from what we're hearing over and over, so I can't even tell you if it is true of any other communities or anything, but that has been absolutely something that keeps coming up in our focus groups for women.
Would you mind if I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
In your own life,
do I cook?
Do you find that you
spouse or a partner chef, something like that?
Yes, but I have no kids. So that being said, I would say I personally, I cook most of the time, but I love to cook. It's a big thing for me. I enjoy it. It's kind of my relaxation. But I would say even when he cooks, I am the one who's bought the groceries and said, here's what's for dinner tonight, but I won't be home until this time. Can you cook?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Are you checking into, I don't know how long you've been doing this. I'm just wondering if you've got enough strategies going to turn any curves on obesity. And do you have any feedback loops planned on that information?
Yeah.
And then what about, you know, the obesity curve may be related to a whole bunch of other things
yes.
beyond your
yeah.
initiative. What other measures do you have to know if you're making?
Yeah. So we're, yes and no would be my answer to this. We've struggled with this a lot because we know that we're not going to, it's not just these initiatives that are going to change obesity in our community. With that being said, we are doing our community health assessment. We were doing it on a 5-year basis, but because we're with the hospitals, they now have IRS requirements to do it every 3 years. So we will also be IRS, yep, because they're nonprofit hospitals. Yeah, it came as part of the Affordable Care Act. So for public health accreditation, we're only... Yeah. For public health accreditation, health departments only have to do it every 5 years, and we're... But since we're joined with the hospitals, it will be every 3 years. So we'll have every 3-year measurements on the pieces we have. We've tried to ensure we're also getting some outcome measures on specifically what we're able to do with our initiative. Those are harder to come by. We have a lot of process measures, like I showed for the Gardner's Market, the number of people that attended, the money, but you know, whether that's long-term changing anyone's food piece, that's harder for us to tell at this point.
That's been one of my problems with the Healthy People 2020 thing, mm-hmm. is that it seems like there's a lot of talk about setting targets, but then all the interim steps to get there are missing. So I guess just like you said, mm-hmm. you've got this vast increase going up.
Yes.
Maybe if you just slowed that
yes.
rate down,
yes.
if you did increase more, if you just
yes.
slowed the rate of increase down,
yes.
that might be a success.
Yes. And that's what we have stabilization, which like mm-hmm. I said on some of those measures,
yeah.
I argued that they were too much. But stabilization is, I think, one of what we should be focusing on, at least in our county, because clearly we just have this huge increase. So if we could just even stop the increase, that would be a huge help. You probably have comments. Yeah.
Your 2014 target was for non-obesity was 25.4%,
mm-hmm.
which reflects an obesity rate of 74
yep.
points. Did you actually project the 2011 up? Because it's higher than you actually measured in 2011 was 72.9, but
I don't know the answer to that one. Yes. So I wasn't in on all those meetings. So I know that we had, I mean, there was huge discussions on it of stabilization, but we didn't do any particular modeling as much as probably just saying, okay, if we could slow it to this rate, that would be, yeah. So we have adopted the new physical activity guidelines, and who we utilize to do our community health assessment, we actually use PRC, I don't know, professional research consultants. So we don't conduct our own community health assessment, and so in many ways we're depending on them to have made those changes and done the Healthy People 2020, you know, from 2010 to 2020, those kind of pieces too. Any other questions?
Well, I wanted to give a big thank you to both Don and Hillary for...
Question, Don, before you...
Well, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, before you shut us down here. on the Baldrige thing, one of the things that I wasn't quite getting was being in the top 100, being in the top 10, being number one. Well, not everybody's going to get there. So I'm just wondering, is that a failure then? You get, you know, if you're, like, you go from the bottom half to the top, you know, third or something?
I don't see it as a failure. I see it as an opportunity for improvement. As beyond our ability to do anything about.
That's right.
Okay? And that has to be recognized. Again, going back to looking at a positive slant, I look to recreate and reframe so that, in general, I know you talk about trying to maintain something. That's true. But I look at stretch targets. Without stretch targets, it doesn't make me want to jump over. And so I look at mechanisms, short-term goals, long-term goals. And then, reprioritize phases up, one at a time, when we thought we were doing really well, goal-oriented, what's happening? My whole work changed, and redirected to one and one. This year, for us in Florida, is TV, year TV. Redirected our strategic planning to assure communities protected in terms of TV. We've got the fungal meningitis, that is, we've had some deaths in Florida. So doesn't mean I might not make some of the original targets that I had earlier this year planned in a formal strategic plan discussion. But we are planning all the time. Probably about 70% of our time now is starting planning versus 6 years ago when 70% of our time is starting crisis management. So that allows us, I don't see it as a failure, but did I step back enough time to be proactive versus reactive when it just fell upon me? So very few times. Do I find myself caught with something I didn't anticipate? Often I see the holes, I just can't get to fix them because it's just not possible. It's not humanly possible. Yet at the same time, I'm working to determine what's the next step. And so we may have long-term goals, and you know, public health, population health, and this. It takes 10, 15, 20 years before we bring it back to change. But I have to be working with my staff. Our community has to be working with short-term goals, or else people just give up. So we take everything as some great action. And at the same time, understand that, hey, we might not make that, but is that a tragedy? No. How we respond to it is the challenge. So if that answers
I have one more question for Hillary or comment. Have you heard of adverse childhood experiences? This is something that was done by Kaiser Permanente, and they started correlating trauma that occurred to children that ended up with bad health outcomes, and people that had more than, there was a list of 10 things like divorce, witnessing physical abuse, experiencing child abuse, these kinds of things. They found a strong correlation with obesity and with for a heart suicide rate, substance use abuse, and